Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. 520-9710. 888-520-9710. The Frosty, Heidi, and Frank Show.
Before I take another stab at my sex thing, here on the Frosty, Heidi, and Frank Show, I got to ask Frank.
Yeah, before you go there, Craig in Sacramento, listening online at frostyheidiandfrank.com, has figured out what's wrong with my belly.
The gurgling sounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's that you were telling your story about being asexual and my little tummy's crying for a sandwich.
Oh, Craig. But I hadn't even got the story started. I was like 5 words into it and gurgle, gurgle, gurgle started.
What if my stomach could predict the future?
Wow.
Quick, who's going to win the election? Stomach.
I'm Steve.
Don't know how to interpret that.
It sounded like Obama, didn't it? I swear
to
God.
It did a little bit, yeah.
I think I'm recording that. I'll have to go back to the tape.
Right.
I think it sounded like Obama.
Play it backwards, too, because stomachs may be Hebrew. They may speak. Okay, Frank, you have something wrong with your inside, but...
That was Heidi.
Now my stomach's going.
Frank, how's your... before I do the sex story again, how's your house? It was this time of the show you left to go fight the fires. Any word on your place? Are you still in the danger zone?
Jeremy says, maybe that gurgling is the comedy trying to get out, but to no avail.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Just finish your goddamn story.
So we don't care about your house now? Never mind.
I guess no news is good.
Are we
news.
Talking about the asexual thing?
We barely got that started. I thought we'd do something else.
Finish it.
It's done. Okay.
You missed that one.
All right, here we go. I don't feel like doing it now.
Oh, God damn.
No, you got to
do
it.
The mood's sour.
Sour? We're having a good time.
Just do it.
Okay, I was being honest at the end of last hour. I was telling you about
it's
my...
It's not worth hearing? You blame my stomach for it?
Yes. I was being honest last hour, telling you how I have very low or no sex drive. Yeah. Now, I thought, for me, that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
See, to you, it may seem abnormal because, well, Frank's obsessed by sex. He thinks of sex all the time, probably.
Mm.
Heidi's having sex, so
right.
She's probably thinking of going home and having sex with the Italian in about 90 minutes.
Right.
See, I have no one in my life, and so I think you think more of sex the more you have it, the more you think of it.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yep.
Because I don't have any prospects for it tonight. I'm too tired to go find it. Why think about something I ain't going to get? It's like me thinking about a new Mercedes. Ain't going to happen, so why worry about it?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's normal. I am been told that some people can be surgically castrated.
Why would you want to do that?
If you're a sex offender and you cannot control your sexual urges, I guess as a last gasp at it, you can request surgical castration. And some studies have shown that it's called orchiectomy, whatever, surgical removal of the testes.
Mm-hmm. Makes you a eunuch.
I thought they just injected you with something. They actually take your testicles.
Well, you can do chemical castration, or you can choose to do surgical, which is just taking it all the way altogether.
Well, studies show that doing that, ripping out your testes, lowers your sex drive because it reduces the testosterone level, obviously.
But I don't think you can have a Mr. Happy if you don't have testicles.
Oh, what?
Mm-hmm.
I think you can.
Yeah, it shouldn't matter.
No, I think that's the whole reason they do it, is because you become a eunuch that even if you wanted to psychologically to offend somebody or, you know, molest somebody... Or assault them? Well, you can't do anything with your wiener because it's just going to be wah wah.
That's the whole
point of doing it. You need testosterone to get happy.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I'm not sure that you're
Let's ask Frank's stomach. Let's see what it says. Do you need testicles to get Mr. Happy?
Gurgle once for yes. Don't gurgle at all for no.
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 All right.
Okay.
It's like the magic eight ball.
Mm.
Ask again later.
Some psychologists and doctors say even if you are surgically castrated, your testicles ripped out, it does not eliminate your sexual urges or your deviant behavior. Well, yeah, your brain is still there thinking those thoughts.
That's why I say, yeah, your brain's still going to think those thoughts, but happy can't get, you know, your wiener can't get happy.
Right, but if you're a sex offender of whatever kind,
mm-hmm.
and you have those urges in your brain, and you think about that sexual deviant act, doesn't matter if your testicles are in or out, you still think those thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and you still seek out the person or people to do them with. The reason I mentioned this, castrated sex offender Larry Don McQuay.
He was born a sex offender.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Don. McQuay is facing parole revocation for possessing what prison officials say were sexually explicit materials underneath the bunk in his work release facility. They caught him last month. Apparently, he was a multiple sex offender. He claims to have molested hundreds of children.
Ugh.
Hundreds!
He's bragging?
Hundreds?
Well, I guess
you're bragging.
If those are your conquests, it's like a regular normal
guy. Hundreds? How do you pull that off?
Ew.
So, I mean, how do you... Hundreds?
Well, easy.
I can understand one or two or five or maybe ten, but hundreds?
Over of what period of time?
I don't know. Anyway, so he was sentenced to prison, and he says, well, if you don't castrate me, as soon as I get out, I'm going to have sex with more kids and maybe even kill them. So they went ahead and castrated him. But guess what? He still has the urges, and guess what they found under his bunk? Something that was a parole violation. I guess if you're a sex offender, you're not supposed to have any sexually explicit material. Mm-hmm. Guess what they found under his bunk? Tarot cards.
That's sexual?
Apparently it is. Because tarot cards, some of them, have women's breasts exposed.
Yeah, but he's not attracted to
There's
women.
There's one with a topless, it says a topless man mm-hmm. standing near a woman, looking at her sexually. And that, by definition, is a sexual material. Women's breasts and shirtless men.
And they say that's sexual. They found it where? Under his bunk?
Under his bunk.
Yeah.
Because one would definitely imply that he was sexually attracted to
under
that.
Under his bunk. Next to the sandwich.
Well worth it.
Not really. Oh, stop. I don't need your pity. Stop it.
Send that to the Radio and Television Museum Awards.
What do you expect when I had to walk on a cactus at the beginning of it?
Oh, Lord.
Will the applause ever stop?
I'm just saying.
You have no testosterone.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I have low testosterone levels.
Well, obviously
wouldn't
you
that
do.
Explain my...
Girlish figure, yes.
No, that's not what I was going to say. Oh. No, this isn't a girlish figure, is it?
Oh, come on, Frosty.
It's a blobbish figure. It's not a girlish
Frosty.
Figure.
Frosty, yes.
No.
You look like an older, heavy-set gal.
But male pattern baldness is a sign of high testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
he's got a full head of hair, so that makes sense.
Well, he's got a large forehead. That means it's going back.
Oh, maybe you're right.
Is it a large forehead? I never noticed.
What?
Well, it is kind of big.
You don't know you have
a
big forehead?
It's wide.
Might as well show drive-in movies on it.
My head is wide because I have a fat... That's funny.
I know. That's why I'm here.
Photoshop.
And what would the movie be?
Sister Act 2.
No, it would be Good Dick showing on Frosty's forehead.
Oh, for God's sakes, no.
Straight to the drive-in.
Stop it. What's that spotless
Please,
mind
Please, someone
movie?
Do that.
Any movie with the word mind in it, all those mind movies. Spotless mind.
Blah, yeah, you got a spotless
blah, blah, blah,
mind,
blah,
all right. Nothing going on at all. Not a mark in there.
But I'm wondering if maybe I have a low testosterone level. Maybe I should get injections. Maybe if we're talking
You
chemicals.
Can get that tested, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Wouldn't that explain
Well, when
it?
You go to the doctor, have her look at your blood and stuff. And
don't they test that when they take your blood?
No, I don't think so.
Not unless you ask.
I don't understand. So what are they testing then? When they take your blood and they say you're okay?
They're testing cholesterol and diabetes and your
but
and
I'm
your
going
white
for a
blood
checkout.
Cells.
Why not check for everything?
Well, testosterone levels?
Testosterone.
That's probably one of those options you ask for. I don't think you normally check for testosterone levels. Why would they?
Yeah.
Because it's your physical.
But it's not a health issue.
Mm.
Not
well,
really.
Ask
not
him.
Like
mental health issue. Look at you.
I think you can ask to, you know, add that on.
Why are they looking at me? Mama, they're looking at me.
I'd be curious to know who, you should both get your testosterone levels checked. And
oh, Frank's going to be off to scale. That's all he's
you
thinking of sex right now.
Maybe
probably
not.
Looking at porn on that monitor.
Maybe not.
Anyway, my physical is coming up again, soon, around my birthday. About end of the year, and I'm going to have her check for my testosterone level because maybe that explains my low sex drive. You think?
Mm-hmm. Tell her you have a low sex drive, and she'll give you something to help that.
But then, if I suddenly start taking things, I'll have a big sex drive, and I won't be me anymore, will me? I'll be a drug-induced sex-dripping zombie thing. Out there looking for sex.
Yeah, maybe God knew what he was doing. He made you just the way he needs you to be.
You imagine me hitting on everyone all the time, coming in with stories of all the women I banged last night, and all the sex, and all the syphilis, every day.
Who in the hell would hire that guy?
Hello, Mike, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to ask Frank, really quick, what's sandwich of the day, man? This story took way too long to tell. That story really sucks.
Well, let's see. I'll put this out
Mike,
of the way.
Mike, the story is over, and so is this call.
All right.
I have to, let's see, go back to the beginning here.
Well, that would be a good
story. Well, you're only lengthening the story now by doing whatever you're doing. So
well,
don't blame this part
of it on
me.
I'm not doing the story.
But I'm not either.
Mm-hmm.
This is now, I'm not taking responsibility for this because I've officially ended it.
It's over.
This is on your hands now.
The blood.
In other news,
he's closing everything out.
No, I'm getting the sandwich lady. New sandwich, please. Urgent. Oh, please doesn't have two P's.
Yeah. Speaking of food.
Yes.
Well, a new record's been set by Joey. What the hell is that?
That's me sending her the message. New sandwich,
please. I thought it was your stomach.
You're very noisy today. Chowdown champ Joey Chestnut has done it again, this time proving he's a pizza powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, those are my own words. I'm not reading. He downed X number of slices in 10 minutes Sunday last weekend to win the World Pizza Eating Championship in New York's Times Square. How many slices of pizza?
How many hot dogs did he eat last time?
He ate 59 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And this contest was pizza in how many minutes?
10. He also won a contest in Tennessee last month by wolfing down. Do you know what a Crystal Hamburger is? It's like a White Castle. It's
those
a small,
tiny.
Yeah, regional Crystal Hamburger. He ate 93 of those in 8 minutes. Here's a guy who ate 59 hot dogs in 10 minutes. They said, how many slices of pizza can you eat in 10 minutes? I don't know what the toppings were. Probably just cheese. How many? 10 minutes. Slice of pizza. Big New York slices.
30.
I can't play because I do know this one.
Oh, 35. Mm-hmm. You're low, Frank.
The slices were just cheese and tomato sauce.
Well, still.
And they were dish.
Thin crust or deep dish?
Just a 16-inch pie carving.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
It does make a difference.
Well, it's probably thin, I'm guessing.
It just said dished from a 16-inch pie carved into 8 wedges.
Probably the thin regular hand-tossed.
Right.
Frank,
yeah,
well,
there is deep dish, then there's hand-tossed, then there's thin crust.
You're telling me
extra
pizza?
Extra crispy.
I know all of this already.
Yeah, you couldn't do a thick crust. There's no way.
Uh-uh. This was regular pizza, we're assuming. In 10 minutes, he wolfed down 45 slices of pizza.
I know. I saw the story, and I was going to ask you if you think 10 minutes.
Seriously, Heidi? When I read this story, I thought I could come close to that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even break it.
Because, let's see, 2 pizzas. Yeah, you've killed 2 pizzas easy without even breaking a sweat.
In 10 minutes.
And he said the morning of the competition, he had coffee for breakfast and a gallon of water to stretch his stomach muscles.
Oh, that's
he
a nice
didn't
trick.
Eat. So, you know, you get your stomach all big, so there's
nice
plenty
trick
of room in there.
He also had a technique of eating it. These speed food eaters do things to the food you don't normally do. What he took the slices and he folded them and then squeezed them to make them easier and quicker to eat. So it wasn't holding a slice like you and I would do. But, yeah, sometimes I run down to pizza whatever and I'll get 2 pizzas and I'll eat one by the time I get home. And when I get home, I stand there and
you
I wolf
eat pizza in the car?
Yeah, that's why the first one's to eat on the way home.
Yeah.
And the second one, usually I don't even get out of the kitchen. I never make it to the front room where I intended to eat it watching a movie.
Do you even get out a plate?
No. Straight from the box.
Napkins?
No, it's my shirt.
Parmesan cheese?
No. No time for that. I'm in a hurry. Must eat.
Slow down.
So 2 pizzas, that's what, 16 slices right there in like 2 minutes flat?
I know.
Do you stack pieces?
I've done that.
Mm.
Absolutely.
I hate the people who do the, can I get a fork?
Like, yeah, don't
shut
don't.
Up. Shut
that's
up.
That's a deal breaker for you. If you got on a date with somebody the first time, they fork their pizza?
Yeah, and either that, they fork the pizza, or people that go, I don't really care for pizza. Oh, we're done.
Leave this planet.
That doesn't make any sense
to me. I can't stand people who knife their salad.
Oh, yeah.
Slice salad like a steak.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong.
Get out!
Just eat.
You know what kind of pizza eater I hate? And I've seen people do this. My own family members do this. They reach over and they pick things off to put on. You know, they add, there's that stray mushroom laying there, the stray pepperoni half. They pick that off and put it on their slice.
Mm-mm.
No.
How are you, folder? You do a fold, you said?
No, I'm a regular eater. Sometimes double stack.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. I'm done. I'm striking
You're
out today.
All
so I'm done.
Out of stories.
No, he's not.
He's not?
Well,
he's
got...
I've struck out twice, and I'm not going to strike out again, so someone else take it.
Doing things you hate?
Someone, please, take it.
There is a story in the paper. We've all heard the old joke that starts, horse walks into a bar, right? We've all heard that joke, but you never know.
Why the long face?
Right, but you never really know what happens beyond that, and sure enough.
He tells the bartender he wants a sandwich.
There was a story in the paper.
Oh, don't cry.
I'm not crying. This isn't crying. Well, this is pissment.
You're right.
Pissment?
They just suck. Be pissed at yourself.
I'm not
don't be pissed.
Pissed
at me.
I'm not.
Don't be pissed at Heidi.
I'm not mad at you, goddammit.
You should be pissed at yourself. You should drive home and curse yourself out.
Heidi's story's taking a long time to get started. Why is that?
Because
Frank won't shut up.
Gave me time to have a nice cold drink of water.
I could be doing one of my stories, but no, you had to run in there and steal the spotlight. now you had to do anything with it.
You guys had the same argument yesterday when I wasn't here.
I know.
No, you go. I'm like, God damn, I'm going to go. Click. Well, I really felt like the audience.
Yeah, yesterday wasn't nearly this good, was it?
But
some more stomach growling.
That was the highlight of the show.
I know, that's what's sad.
Actually beat yesterday's hour.
That is true. That's sad.
I guess I get blamed for that too, huh?
Police
You're not
getting
blamed for anything. Be pissed at yourself. Seriously.
Yeah. Fine, you convinced me. I hate myself. Yeah, okay, great. Now what?
Oh, I'm sure that took a lot of convincing.
Yeah. Oh, what was me? What was I thinking? Oh, geez.
Yeah,
what
were you thinking?
Don't put this on me. It's you now.
I'm not still crying over my horrible job. I'm listening to Heidi. Tell her story.
Are you?
I don't hear much story going on.
You guys are pathetic. Oh, my God.
Police made...
Watching the train wreck is worse than listening to it.
Police made an unusual request after an 86-year-old man died from injuries sustained when he was hit by a cart that was being pulled by a horse, and the horse was drunk. Apparently, this guy bought this horse at a fair and left it alone for a certain period of time, and... they started giving beer to the horse. So they called in a veterinarian and said, can you try this, or can you test this horse's blood? Because it was like an out-of-control cart. This horse was going crazy and hurt this 86-year-old man. And sure enough, the veterinarian said, I've never had such a request before. But sure enough, police believe the horse was given alcohol to make it appear stronger and healthier. This happened in Russia.
Did you ever see the movie Seabiscuit?
Yeah.
That's what they gave the horse.
I thought they gave him cocaine.
I don't think so, Heidi.
No, I always thought they gave horses cocaine to get them like, woo! You know,
how
like,
big is the dollar bill, or the $100 bill you have to roll up to give a horse cocaine?
That's what I always thought it was. I didn't think it was beer or whatever kind of alcohol they gave.
No, but definitely, at least in that movie, they gave Seabiscuit a beer before the race.
Really?
I don't know if that's based on fact or not, but if it is, maybe there's something in the beer that wakes up the horse's energy level.
So the man in the cart was sober. The horse driving the cart was drunk.
There was no car. There was nobody manning the cart. The cart was empty. Horse just took off running with a cart attached to it.
So what did they charge the horse with? Anything?
Well, they charged him with being inebriated. Oh, get the train crash ready. Get the train crash ready.
Oh, people, I am so sorry.
No, you know, I just thought it was,
I was trying to put the embers out around my house last night. I had brought something to the show today.
You never hear the end of Horse Walks Into a Bar. Clearly, that's a true story.
Okay,
oh,
maybe it's
you
a little,
like it.
Maybe
you
it's a little
like
funny.
It.
Maybe, hey, at least you tried, huh?
Well, you know.
That's all that matters.
I made a little effort.
At least you tried.
I tried.
Oh, you did not.
I did.
Don't even call that an attempt.
I tried and tried and tried. I wasn't nearly that humorous.
Oh, no. Well, the bar is very high.
My payoff wasn't nearly as jovial and, rib-splitting
but
funny.
But you made Heidi look good.
Mm-hmm. And that's really why the both of you are here.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
This is 97.1.
We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
After that horse joke there, Heidi, about the drunken horse, he was inebriated.
Yes.
Prado here says you could get a job as a joke writer for those popsicle sticks.
If I come to that, that would be fun.
Here's a riddle for you. How can two people be charged with drunk driving in the same vehicle?
Oh, they're sitting on each other's lap. One sitting on the lap, and they're both drunk.
Was it Brittany and Abigail, the two-headed, one butthole, one vagina girl?
I don't think she's old enough to drive yet.
No, they're 16.
Really?
Yeah. And they're dating, looking for boyfriends.
They can look both ways at the same time at intersections. Probably very safe drivers.
They did an update with the Abigail and Brittany head?
Yeah, they're in maybe senior year in high school. They might even be older than 16.
And they have a boyfriend?
No, they're looking.
Oh, they need boyfriends, but they're both different with different tastes.
Yeah, very different tastes.
So this is one girl body with two heads.
Brittany and Abigail, do a YouTube search. It's fantastic.
Very broad shoulders, two necks, two heads, two different personalities.
But one body.
So if Brittany gets a boyfriend and Abigail gets a boyfriend... Mm-hmm. Are the other boyfriends going to be jealous of the other boyfriend because
when he's
it's the
doing,
same body?
You know what? I don't even know how that's going to work. I feel so sorry for them because they really
are. How's a second boyfriend? And
I know.
Find out that Brittany's head drug Abigail over to be made love to.
I know.
And
so you could actually accuse your girlfriend Abigail of cheating when Brittany had sex with her boyfriend?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they have very different tastes, too, because the one, and I don't know them apart because they are identical. But one's like, yeah, I'm a night owl, but this one over here, she likes to go to bed early. And
I like dancing. This one's a wallflower.
I know. And
it's how can you do that?
What if it's like, oh, I like white guys, and Brittany over here likes big black guys. I mean, like, ugh, what are you going to do? I mean, they have very different tastes.
Now, what do they do when they're McCain Obama? Do they get one vote or two?
No, it's two, because they're two girls.
They get two votes.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because they're two.
But you only get one ballot when you walk into the...
No, because there's Brittany so-and-so and Abigail so-and-so. They're both registered to vote.
Each head gets a ballot.
Can two people use the same booth? Could Frosty and I walk into the same booth and vote together?
Well, no, but I think when the two-headed body comes to your garage, I think you make an exception.
Do you think they can keep secrets from each other? Or head A kind of knows what head B...
What if Abigail's lesbian?
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
And Brittany's not.
Oh. Wow.
What if Abigail wants to stay a virgin for some reason?
Too bad.
And Abigail's slut?
She's like the slut of the century.
You're getting pounded, and you're like, but I wanted to wait till marriage. Too late. Whore.
They probably had to toss a coin on ass.
Yeah.
All right, one's fronts, one's backs. Fronts and backs. Here's fronts, here's backs. Flip. Call it Abigail in the air. Fronts. backs.
Oh, my God,
so they share everything. Up to the up to the neck.
Everything.
One stomach, one everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both hungry at the same time.
Not necessarily, no. And one head, I know, but it's weird because one head likes really spicy foods and the other one doesn't. And she said then she
gives I can imagine why the other one doesn't.
She gives us a stomach ache, but her mouth, one head likes it. It's bizarre.
Mm. Well, this is not a Siamese twin story about two people getting arrested for drunk driving in the same vehicle. No, they were two friends and the officer pulled over the car and the 23-year-old driver was out doing his field sobriety test and breathalyzer when his friend, who's 24, decided to jump into the driver's seat and try to drive off. So they arrested them both for drunk driving. Same vehicle.
Mm.
If he'd have sat there in the passenger seat...
He can't be arrested for anything. No.
Maybe... Can you be arrested for public intox if you're drunk and your designated driver's drunk?
Want to take this one, Frost?
But you're in the passenger seat. You're over 21. You're not driving. What laws are you breaking?
Yeah. Well, it seems like you should be protected there because, you've done everything right. You're having someone else drive you home.
And the only reason we got pulled over is because this guy can't drive.
Yeah, I think as long as you stay in the car, you're okay.
So I'm stuck in public because he can't drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think a cop can pull your car over and arrest the passenger and the people in the back seat.
If you had an open beer in the car.
Okay, yeah, there is that. But they can't pull you over and then say, you're inebriated in public. No, I'm in the car. I'm not in public. I'm in the confines of this car cocoon.
Yeah. Car cocoon.
You think you'd be arrested for wearing too tight of pants?
Probably, because you could see things that are obscene.
In America?
Yes. There is decency. Yeah, there are decency laws. You can't show...
I'm going to say no.
If your pants are too tight,
they
can arrest you for disturbing the peace.
Disturbing your peace, maybe. My God, how's it getting any blood flow?
This is not in America. This happened in South Sudan. This is more than 35 young women wearing tight trousers, have been arrested for disturbing the peace. The arrests were part of a crackdown on youth gangs that have sprung up recently and have a reputation of drinking, fighting, and public nudity. They were wearing trousers that were too tight, disturbing the peace. So I guess everyone was stopping and looking at these chicks in tight pants.
They must have been serious camel toe.
And they brought the panty wagon and just loaded them in there. Says there was 30 girls in two trucks piled up like animals. One girl was just picked up and thrown into the truck.
Oh, geez.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All because her pants are too tight?
Because her pants are too tight. You can't wear it too tight. I mean, I guess Northern Sudan's Muslim conservative. Southern Sudan.
So they probably thought they were, prostitutes or something?
Don't they have bigger issues in Sudan than how tight your clothes are?
What do you mean, like drought and famine?
Yeah, just starving to death.
I think it was the Sudan where some minister over there said that, maybe some Muslim guy, wanted to outlaw miniskirts because of public disturbances. Like women walking by in a miniskirt, everything stops, people are crashing into trees.
Well, that makes sense then, I understand it. It's for the public welfare that you outlaw the distraction
that's
causing accidents and people to die.
If you had it all the time, though, it gets old. It's like, it's going to be weird for the first couple of months.
Topless beaches. You go to topless beach, or eventually,
when you first
who cares
get there,
about seeing boobs at the beach?
Yeah, when you first get there and you lay a towel out in your cooler, you're like, oh my God, look. And then if you're there for 2 hours, it's really not that big a deal. You've seen one set, you've seen them all. It's like being in a strip club. For the first 5 minutes, you're like, oh, my God, naked girls with glitter. Oh, God, look at every... And then you just sit back and talk to your friends and have a drink.
$8 a beer, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah, it just gets old. All those naked breasts.
You can't stand it.
Naked dancing women just gets old after about 5 minutes.
So nobody's going to be crashing a car with a girl in a skirt if it's
apparently
happened
they
every
are.
Day.
Now, first, you were a fan of that 70s show because you grew up in that era?
Yeah, I like that show. It's cool.
I don't think it's on... with new episodes, but it's in syndication, so you can probably find it. A student has been arrested for exposing himself to a teacher, says he was just reenacting a funny prank he saw on that 70s show. But the teacher didn't think it was funny and called the police for indecent exposure. The teacher, 61 years old woman, she was sitting alone in her classroom grading papers when the boy entered the room with his T-shirt pulled over his face, the zipper of his jeans open, and his penis sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
The boy then asked the teacher, old Deborah Harrell, what do you think? Several times as she sat there stunned. Says, unfortunately, the T-shirt over his face didn't, you know, allow much protection because they have video cameras in the school. They saw the boy get prepared before he walked into the classroom, so he's been arrested. He said that he decided to act out something that he observed on TV, that 70s show, over the weekend. Thought it was funny and thought he'd do it at school.
Oh, that Ashton Kutcher.
I don't recall them showing that on network television.
How is that supposed to be funny, though?
It's kind of funny. If someone walked in here right now with their shirt over their head and their penis sticking out and said, what do you think? Wouldn't we all laugh?
No, it's not funny. It's blatant.
I guess it depends on who it is.
There's no humor in that.
The one time you hear Frosty's stomach growl.
Oh, stop.
When you say Hillshire, I say home. Hillshire, home. Go meet. Love that commercial.
Hello, George in Northridge.
You like the Go Meat commercial. That's ironic.
Hi. How you guys doing today?
What's up, man?
Hey, I got a comment on the two guys that were got pulled over, and could the passenger be arrested for public intoxication?
Yeah.
Absolutely. A friend of mine and I were driving back from Kern County, were absolutely plastered, got pulled over by the CHP, he got arrested for DUI, and I got arrested for public intoxication.
But I don't understand.
Well, he's in public.
Yeah, but you're in the car.
But,
yeah.
You're still out in the public.
Well, what this means is, maybe you guys screwed up because you had a drunk at the wheel and it pissed the cops off. But what this means is, if you're at a bar or a restaurant and you've had too much to drink and you do the responsible thing, you call a friend or a cab to drive you home.
Right.
Now you're in the confines of a car being responsible, driven home, so you're not driving. If a friend drives you home and is pulled over, and then you're arrested for public intoxication,
no,
what's the point of trying to do the right thing?
Right,
just walk home drunk.
Because everybody's talking about a designated driver. Get a designated driver.
Exactly. If you're in the car with someone else who has not been drinking, whether it be a taxi driver or whoever the person may be, if they have not been drinking, you are not publicly, you're publicly intoxicated, but you're in the care of them.
How about when you're the passenger and the driver's drunk, you sit there and shut up?
Yeah, he must have been hammered.
What were you saying?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You're probably dancing around going, I didn't drive.
What?
With your penis sticking out saying, what do you think? What do you think?
Oh, God.
Well, this worries me now.
You just got to sit there in the passenger seat and be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess, but if you're drunk, it's hard to keep quiet sometimes.
That's what you got to remember to do.
You drunk right now?
I wish you were. I'm going to fix it in about 5 minutes. Let's get the glow. The show needs some booze. No, this worries me, because let's say you and I go out, Frank, for a beer or something. You know,
that was hypothetical.
I know. Discussing business. And I think you're in better shape than me, because I know I shouldn't be driving. I've had like 3 jumbo margaritas, and you just had 2 or whatever. Here, Frank, you drive. Now, you're maybe over the limit as well, so we get pulled over. Now, I'm arrested, even though I had someone I thought.
Oh, ew.
What?
You were telling that story, and I am into it. But this is a distraction that I couldn't help. There is a pubic hair on my microphone.
What?
How do you know it's pubic?
It's curly.
Might be from...
It's short and curly, and it's on my microphone, and I just noticed it after, you know, doing the whole show, 3.5 hours, mouth about this far away from it.
Can I make you feel a little better? Can I make you feel better?
It's not from my beard because it's curly.
It's from your stomach.
Oh, thank God.
You rubbed your microphone all over your stomach when you were listening to your gurgle.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
You don't even recognize your own stomach hair.
Well, I didn't want to touch it, but now that I inspect...
It's you, baby.
It's mine.
And look, it's all
red.
Look
at how cute that is.
It's gross.
I'm going to rub it all over my face.
Oh. Truth be told, we come in here usually.
Let's hope it's mine. I just rub it all over my face.
Especially after weekends. And these microphones, we joke about this. We usually don't say this on the air. I don't know what they do in here on weekends.
Right.
I think they film soundtracks for pornos because the microphones are aimed down at the chairs. The chairs are leaned all the way back, and there's weird stains on them.
Well, based on that feeling a sickness that I just had and the problems that we have with people using our studio, let's all stick some pubes on our microphones.
No, I'm down. No,
I'm
going to
have a hard
no.
time getting any, but...
I need mine.
I stuck mine right in the front.
I have what appears to be poop in the holes of my microphone.
Well, you do.
Oh, my God.
Contractually, that is the one you use, yes. We do shove that in there.
Right.
For you, specifically.
Well, I feel honored because it's disgusting. Right. It really is. You'll have to look at it during the commercial
break.
Maybe
it's just your breath resin.
Maybe it's a physical representation of the Danny going to do some shit.
No, I can't even look at my own pube in the microphone. It's grossing me out.
Yeah.
Sorry, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you, Heidi, for making me feel better.
You're
that
welcome.
I thought I was going to yak.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Frosty, you were saying?
Oh, I forget what I was saying
He's
now.
About
valiant.
Drinking and being quiet?
Oh, yeah, I think we're done with that.
All right, you didn't have a point.
I do have a drunk story, though. It's not really that one, though. After these calls. Hello, Daisy in Pasadena.
Hi.
Hi, Daisy.
Oh, my God, this is awesome. I can't believe I'm online.
Isn't it exciting?
Yes, it is exciting. I wanted to call in regards to that public intoxication. That's not true. My husband and I got pulled over. We're both drunk. He got the DUI, and I got to go home.
How'd you get to go home if you couldn't drive either?
I got on a taxi.
Well, they let you call a taxi. Okay.
Now, if you open the door and put your foot on terra firma, if you step outside, then they can probably nail you.
Wow. Either way. It didn't happen to me, so I don't know.
Look, I think a cop...
What, you jump from her car to the taxi?
Well...
She got in the taxi.
Could you get closer? I can't jump that high.
Like a Duke boy.
As soon as I touch terra firma.
Okay, just because I speak like the hoity-toities, peasant. You know, Shakespeare was made fun of, too.
He still is.
Actually, Francis Bacon.
Francis Bacon?
Or the Earl of Oxford. My point is this. I have no point. Tyler, quickly, Tyler. I hear break music.
My buddy, I was totally wasted with my buddy, and I was not arrested. And I had the warrant out for my arrest, and they let me go. Told me if I could call a ride that I wouldn't have anything wrong right then and there. And my buddy was the one who got the DUI.
Well, there's some good police work. Jesus.
Yeah, I got drunk the news as well. We come back. Let's drink for the final break. What do you say?
Really?
Let's toast Frank's toasty house.
And just drive home then.
Why not? Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
This is 97.1.
We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, and we can speak from experience of saying everyone in this room likes booze. Maybe everyone in this room has abused it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some in this room are going to abuse it in exactly 16 minutes at the nearest bar. But I don't think I've ever been this drunk. Maybe I have, but I don't think I have been. You ever been so drunk where you wouldn't even recognize your own house? Where you've wandered into someone else's house after a night of drinking, and you think it's yours, and you go to bed?
Well, I don't know if it's beyond, because, Frank, didn't you say you drank yourself? I think it was the day that you drank a whole bottle of whiskey on the show. You said you drank yourself sober.
That was the first,
though. You did a loop. You went, I'm completely hammered to...
Yeah, that was beyond scary.
Okay, so at the height of your ultimate, before you turned a corner and got sober, at the height of your drunkenness...
No, I woke up and not know where I was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay...
Right.
Then you start walking around the house and realize, oh, yeah, I was here last night.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I've had that, too.
Oh, I remember. This is the party.
Right.
Why am I on a cot? Why are there bars over there?
I fell asleep. I got so drunk at a wedding reception. Exactly. Yeah, you're in prison. I fell asleep, and all I remember is leaving a wedding reception. I don't even remember what I had to drink, and this only happened to me one time. And apparently, I was with a group of people, and I was like, well, great friends, that I insisted I just need to lay down for a second, just a second. And I just remember them going, come on, we got to go, we got to go. And I was just persistent. No. And I laid down in the parking lot where the wedding reception, like at a hall. And
in the actual parking lot? Like on the asphalt?
It was cold.
Oh, perfect. Laid there and used the little
bathroom floor
parking stop as my pillow, and I thought I just can't walk another.
That's comfortable.
Another, and I woke up there at like maybe 3 a.m. alone. I mean, it's Batesville, so it was like nothing was going to happen to me. But my friends just went, "We can't move her. Forget it. We're leaving her."
The parking lot's empty, and you're laying there, like an old homeless woman.
A little place called Enochsburg Hall in the outskirts of Batesville. And I remember waking up and going, "Okie dokie."
You're a keeper, Heidi.
That only happened one time, though.
Did you check yourself for rape?
Oh, of course. My underwear were on
were you
inside out. No, my underwear were on inside out. But I think I may have done that when I got ready for the wedding. for whatever reason.
Frank, you remember back at Indiana University, there was this big apartment complex where students live when they go off campus. Big, massive complex. I think thousands of students live there. It's a massive nonstop party. Varsity Villas, remember that in Bloomington, Indiana?
Yep.
I remember one time walking across, you had to walk across campus to get over there, but it was right next to the big football stadium. So, of course, you go to classes and walk back drunk. I was invited to a party there, and I walked over from the grad dorm where I was living. And I left the party, wasted on my ass, late at night. And I remember leaving the party and walking out the door of this big complex and in the parking lot. And now I wake up next morning, I just wake up, and the sun's up. I was on top of one of those big, the thing that's outside, if you have an air conditioner, it blows the wind. What's it called? A condenser?
Yeah.
The blowing thing?
Mm-hmm, the air conditioning unit.
Because I always sleep with a fan on. Apparently, I found one of those, and I'm laying sprawled out over it on my back like
was
a starfish.
On?
On.
Oh, damn.
Laying on the air conditioner condenser.
Did any air get out?
Not much.
Did it burn, burn out the air conditioning system?
Back it up.
And what the hell is wrong with the air conditioning?
And I'm thinking, if this is right by the main entrance and exit to the whole complex, so probably 10,000 people saw me, the drunk guy, laying there.
You were slowly getting hot air cooked.
All night.
Drunk on the train.
God. So I can kind of relate to this poor bastard. Happened in Gaithersburg, Maryland. The owners of the house were Bob and Joanne Briner, and they returned home late at night to find a man in their bed, sound asleep. Older man with a big white beard. He's nestled, snoring soundly asleep in their bed. It was a drunk stranger who apparently got off the bus stop, is what he told the police. He got off the bus stop about 8 miles from his own home, incorrectly not knowing that. Staggered into a house he thought was his. They left their front door was unlocked. That's kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought it was his house. He went in there, ate some food, went to bed, went to sleep. It's not even his house. Joanne Briner says she first realized something was amiss when they came home and they noticed in the middle of the kitchen floor was crumpled aluminum foil, crumbs all over the kitchen counter, and a missing crab cake. Now,
that's your first clue. It's not your house.
Yeah.
You have crab cake.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember having crab cake.
And when you eat a random crab cake at somebody else's house, you don't know, has it been in there for dinner last night? Or was it been in there for a week?
I understand.
You couldn't even taste it. It was a crab cake. It's just something in foil.
Mm. We've all seen housing complexes where every house looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's one of these builder developments where every fourth house is exactly the same.
Right.
I understand if you get off the wrong bus stop into one of these massive housing complexes.
But 8 miles?
When you recognize this is my fridge?
I don't think so. Not when you're that drunk.
I don't recall having a crab cake.
Mm-mm.
Wouldn't that be a clue?
Now, we had a neighbor kid. He was probably 5 years older than me, and he was on drugs of some sort, and he came standing in our kitchen one night. He lived three doors down, and I just remember my mom yelling to my dad, "Dad, there's someone in the house! There's someone in the house!" And sure enough, I go downstairs, and and my dad looks, and our neighbor three doors down, his name is John, he's standing in our kitchen just like, you know when you see like somebody's pupils that are just the side, like they cover up their whole colored part of their eyeball?
Yeah, I've seen that in the mirror.
Ah. I remember seeing this kid because I knew him. I mean, he was 5 years old or so, but he was about 6.
And they send you downstairs, the guard dog?
No.
The expendable one.
No, she's yelling at my dad. There's someone in the house or someone because she heard. And I kind of round the corner in the stairs that lead from the upstairs, I can peer into the kitchen without anybody seeing me. And so I just remember him looking around the kitchen, and I looked, and I remember him not having any colored part of his eyes because the kitchen light was on. And I just thought, my God, that he didn't even know. He knew he was in the right neighborhood.
But he saw you. What did he do?
But he didn't see me. I was looking at him. And I just remember as a young kid, probably about 10 or 11 years old, thinking that he looked so bizarre to me because he didn't have any colored part of his eye. Because he's all effed up on
something. So he looked around, realized it's not his house, and just left.
No, my dad came out from the back bedroom and ushered him out and goes, Mom, it's John. You know, and he's telling my mom, it's John. Well, John who? I don't want to say his last name. From down the street. And so he just walked him down the street and took him home.
Which major radio chain does he program today?
This one.
No, I didn't mean this one. I meant the other ones. Let's time ourselves.
I'm kidding.
It's payday. We need that.
That's probably true.
Maureen in Brentwood, what's up?
Hi. Okay, so I remember... Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, okay. I was in New York City, and my girlfriends and I, we were 16 years old, drive into the city, do the nightclubs. This is like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
get wasted. It's a miracle we make it home. But back then, you know, the clubs in New York, they closed at 4. So we get home at around 5. I have to be at my waitressing job at Friendly's at 6.
Oh. So,
my
so drunk.
Did you make it?
I made it all right. My girlfriend goes to my house. My parents were at their summer place. So I walk in, get my Friendly's uniform, show up at work. They see me. I am reeking of alcohol. They put me in one of the booths. I wake up 3 hours later. Customers all around me.
Well, they really are Friendly's.
There's customers all around you? Are they sitting in the same booth?
They're sitting there from their Sunday mass, sitting around.
Oh,
it's
God.
A corner booth. She's laying down. There's a family of four sitting in it.
Can we get another coffee refill when you get a chance?
Thanks, Marie.
Exactly.
Oh, we have to break, but thanks. Apologies next. You shall get them. Who's coming up next? Do we even know? Is it Danny or is it us again?
I was surprised yesterday to hear us when I was driving home.
I'm assuming it's Danny coming up next. We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
This is 97.1.
Hey, it's Don McGoy, producer of the Frosty, Heidi, and Frank Show. Since I have to hold a vanity mirror for Frank, lie of Frosty that his diet is working, and check Heidi for fish breath, they must now apologize.
We apologize to Sarah Palin, John McCain, Nazi Goose Steppers, Candy Crowley, and Gordon Lightfoot.
Big girls Anna Kournikova and Emmy, the plus-size model.
Jackie Johnson, black guys with freckles, Wade, and chicken.
Elton John, Mormons, Shelley Winters, John Denver, and Kurt Cobain.
Blonde doctors, Candy Crowley, Marley Matlin, and people with an extra thumb.
All blondes, nearsighted Koreans, Candy Crowley, and ham radio.
Candy Crowley, CB radio users, Taco Bell, low-testosterone fat men, and surgically castrated sex offenders.
Beavers, people who poop Thanksgiving dinner, 40-year-old single men, and our old neighbor John.
Blowholes, Siamese twins, and the Sudan. You really have to listen to the whole show.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 97.1 FM.